Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today, this fifth Sunday after Pentecost, comes from our Old Testament reading, Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 14 through 21. And I will read it in its entirety as we go, but this is the word of the Lord. And so we pray. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto thee, O Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jeremiah tells the church a new thing from the Lord. Verse 14. However, look, the days are coming, the Lord's declaration, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites from the land of Egypt. Verse 15. But rather, as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites from the land of the north, and from all the other lands where he has banished them. For I will return them to their land that I gave to their ancestors. What is the difference? The first was the gospel message for the people of Israel until God was ready to show them more grace than they thought they could have, more mercy than they could possibly expect, could ever deserve. Who is this, their God? I mean, he had already rescued them out of slavery in Egypt and made them his own possession, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Moses records in Numbers this very thing, not because they were, but because he made them to be. Not Moses, but God. By his actions, God's actions, by his declarative word. It is so. They are. And he gave them a wonderful place to live, too. And what did they do? They sinned against him. And as he had warned, they lost their land. They were exiled and deported. Does this mean that the original promise, the first gospel message, was now null and void? Not at all. But understand this. It is not as if God did not know this ahead of time. He was not surprised. It was not as if God did not know that they and we would not be faithful to him, despite all that he did do. Does, will do. No, they, as we, need more than this. We humans need more grace, mercy, and forgiveness than this. Because our corruption goes far deeper than this. It is not just a fix, but a remaking that has to take place. But it was not the fullness of time yet. So God scattered them. God took away their pride, dignity, false sense of self-reliance. But again, he promised to bring them back after 70 years. And he keeps his promises. He is faithful even though he has no reason to be towards us. The only reason is that he is merciful. He is forgiving. He is loving. This is who he is. So now when asked who God is and what has he done, Jeremiah tells them to say now instead. It used to be this, but now you have put yourself in this. So now we say, as the Lord lives, who brought the Israelites, us, from the land of the north and from the other lands where he had banished them. We say this instead, for God promises to return their land that he gave to our forefathers. So harder God makes it for them, for us, to get ourselves out from under, untangled, freed, or rather, no. He is sticking this in the devil's face. He's sticking it in our face as well. Because he's making it harder for himself, for God to rescue, making sin to be very sinful. For men, he says, it is impossible, showing the world and the devil this, how truly impossible it is for us to be saved, to be rescuable from this dire situation that we really are in. But that is still not the end of it, because that is not the end of his inheritance, his people, his church, even if it is also not the end of them and us for getting into more trouble. Not that that has ever been any different. Not that the depth of depravity has not already been in us to the fullest extent, even back then, as it is still today. Jeremiah himself, in an earlier verse, verse 9, reports to us from God on the human condition. He says, "The heart is more deceitful than anything else." I want to underline that, anything else. "And incurable." Incurable. So no, modern medicine is not going to fix it, no matter what we come up with. Who can understand it? Not psychiatrists, not psychologists. Yes, who? Only God. And so that is why he did what he has done. That is why it takes all of this, what you see throughout the Old Testament and the New. All of this time, too. Yes, even this second round of rescue. It, too, is still not enough, though. God knows this, and as St. Paul tells us, in the fullness of time, he will complete it as he promised. And, of course, that is what the rest of what Jeremiah is telling the people about. That even though God has brought you back, he still has to do more to fully save humans. So he says to us, verse 16 through 18, "I am about to send for many fishermen. This is the Lord's declaration, and they will fish for them. Then I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them down on every mountain and hill and out of the clefts of the rocks. For my gaze takes in all their ways. They are not concealed from me, and their iniquity is not hidden from my sight. I will first repay them double for their iniquity and sin, because they have polluted my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their aberrant and detestable idols." Abhorrent and detestable idols. When will this take place? In the fullness of time. "And behold, a virgin shall give birth, and he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And they took him out to the place called the skull, and they crucified him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'It is finished.' All because he," God, "has not hidden his eyes from our iniquity. Not until he had it all. And not until it all had been buried in the flesh of Christ and drowned in the sea of baptism. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Then his gaze moved. He could not look. Not until it had been paid in full. In human flesh, we did pay double. In Jesus, in his flesh, and by his blood. And because just as in one Adam we all died, so too in one man, Jesus Christ, have all been made to rise to new life. Because he has paid. Jesus has paid for our polluting all the good that God has given to us with our many, many idols, with our many, many sins, sins piled upon pile, and upon him, nailed into him. In this we have a new inheritance. In that flesh, we have a new inheritance in this Christ by baptism, as we are born anew into this, in him, in that flesh, from Jesus. And so through this, being at last in him, he made us into fishers of men. Sinners to help bring back sinners from exile, to lead sinners away from idol to worship the one true God. From many nations across the whole earth, on every mountain and hill and out of the clefts of the rocks, as Jeremiah prophesied. First, this was the disciples. Peter, a a sinful man, as he even says himself. His partners, James and John, precocious and wrathful sons of thunder they are. And then the others, great sinners all. Do you know he died for Judas too? Great sinners all, who became apostles, these first fishers of men, remember. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so from then on, fishers catching sinners are you and me, and those after us to the end of the age. But this has always been the same salvation as promised. From the beginning, from Adam and Eve to Abraham and Moses to Luther and to us. It was just that God had to show us how much we needed a real Savior, how much salvation was necessary, that God had to die for us to be saved, that it took that much mercy and grace, as how great our sins are, how terrible we sinners actually are. That is, that it required so great a sacrifice to accomplish. And this was no simple repair. No, it had to be a new creation. The old must be put down and dissolved by death and fire. Yet God, in his great wisdom and wonderful love, made it in such a way that we are still us. Jesus was no mere ghost. That the old creation is still preserved because God called it very good. We will be another of his wonders with his remade creation. And yet it will be even better still. But itself still also. And so we, not just Israel, together with every kind of people, can pray with Jeremiah, verses 19 and 20. Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in a time of distress, the nations will come to you from the ends of the earth, and they will say, "Our ancestors inherited only lies, worthless idols of no benefit at all." Can one make gods for himself? But they are not gods. From this confession of guilt and of faith that God has created in us, God answers our prayer, our need, saying, "Therefore I am about to inform them, and this time I will make them know my power and my might, and they will know that my name is the Lord." Where will this be done? The cross and the empty tomb. What name? Jesus, our Savior, God with us. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the life everlasting. Amen.